there's a lot of stuff that's happened in this nation over the last week, not to even mention the last year. But one of the things that got kind of put on the back burner, something very significant that happened, and if you wasn't watching some, if you wasn't watching many different news sources, you probably didn't even hear about it. For some religious folks like us, and you hear about it, this may have a different significance to you. You may want to go to Revelation and say, end time stuff. It may be, but you know. But I think it's significant, and I want to bring it up because of the situation or the person that it centers on. In the past week and a week and a half, what they're calling the Abraham Accords. Two Arab nations signed a normalization treaty with the Jewish people, Israel. In other words, they were going to be able to interact and be normal. I mean, we're talking history stuff here. This is significant. Just for world politics, you can never have peace in the Middle East. Well, now we're starting to see it, and that brings up other fears, but I'm not going to talk about that today. I want to talk about why it's called the Abraham Accords. And what they do is they'll sign this, and then they'll sign an accord. Do you realize that Abraham is the father, the spiritual father of Christianity? Okay? Do you realize that Abraham is the spiritual father of the Jews? You probably might have known that. But did you also know that Abraham is the spiritual father of the Muslims? He's important. And the New Testament is chock full of references about the faith of Abraham. So when we talk about Abraham, we're not talking about just some Bible character. We're talking about a real living and breathing person who put his faith and trust in God. He wasn't perfect, and you look at the accounts of his life, and he's not perfect. But the emphasis is not on what he did. The emphasis of passages of Scripture is on his faith in God. And so this morning, we'll be looking at the importance of Abraham's faith. And we'll find that in Romans, the 4th chapter. And we'll be starting in verse 17, and we will be concluding the entire chapter. We're going to read this, and it's going to be my translation. In some ways, my translation is probably going to be a little easier to read than y'all's, but it's not easy to read, period. Okay? So we're going to try to break it down this morning, and we're going to see exactly what he's trying to say about Abraham's faith. So let's start the first verse, in verse 17. And here we're going to find it is the source of Abraham's faith. How did he get so much faith? That as it has been written, here's this perfect thing, we've talked about that many times, and continues to be written. You, as father of many nations, in the presence of whom he did believe, now it's talking about who he believed, of the God, he believed of the God who is making alive the dead and who is calling the things that are not existing as they were things that are existing. So I told you it's going to be a little mental challenge this morning to try to find. I tried to put it as clear as I could. I probably failed. But it is saying something very important here. Number one, we're going to see that it was written, it has been written, and continues to be written. And what happens after that is what's been written. And it's not that he's continuing to write, but what he has written has survived for them to be able to read even then. Okay? The source of his faith was God himself. I have placed and continue to place you as father of many of the nations. This is God talking. I have placed you, Abraham. He's not talking to me. He has not placed me as father of many nations. He's not placed any of y'all as father. But in particular, he is talking to Abraham as the father of many nations. Did that, somebody tell me, someone who's steeped in prophecy, tell me, did that get fulfilled? All right. Let me give you a little something on that. It did get fulfilled, and he is the father of many nations. But at the time, he didn't have a kid, and he was old. And if I remember biology right, in order to be a father, you need to have kids. Okay? And that's the backside. Now, he says, it was God in whom Abraham believed. Belief is not enough. You have to believe in the right thing. It's important. There's a lot of things I believe. Some of them are right. Some of them aren't. But everything that I believe, even the things that are totally true, are not what I need to, what he's talking about, to believe in, to have faith in. He was saying Abraham had faith in God. The promise, I have placed and continue to place you as father of many nations, was given to Abraham, but he didn't have a son by Sarah. Now, he had another son, but it wasn't by Sarah. And he was now about 100 years old. Both were well beyond the years of childbearing. And if Abraham was to have a son, it would have to happen because of God, not himself. It was not going to be. Now, let me clear something up. It was not an immaculate conception. They still had to do their part. Okay? But it was a miracle brought about by God. There are some things in life that we as Christians see. And we know that there's no way it could have happened without God being involved. What do we call that? Well, that's a God thing. Right? That's what we call it. God would have to be the source, for only God could do such an impossible thing. And yet Abraham believes God. It's a simple fact. Abraham, confronted with the reality of them being old, him not being, her womb being barren, the reality of that versus God said, you're going to be father of many nations. And he's going, that's impossible. So the source of Abraham's faith was not in himself, because he knew he could not do that. The source was from God, and was because he believed God. And then he starts talking about who this God is. It was God who gave us life to the dead, who is making us, making alive the dead. He believed in God, that he was the living and true God, the God who is omnipotent, possessing all power, the power to breathe life into dead matter. Only God could take something dead and make it alive. And in Abraham's case, he believed the deadness of his age and the deadness of Sarah's womb would be made alive by God. Now, when we read that, we think of something else. He's making us alive. Well, he is. He's quickening us. He is making us alive till one day we are alive in him. Now, it was God. Now, he goes a step further. Okay, that's something. He's making something that's dead alive. But look what he says. It was God who created things that are not existing. They're not even existing, and he makes them as if they were existing. He created things out of nothing. Not only did God could raise the dead, but he can make something out of nothing. And he needs nothing to create. He can speak things into existence, just as he did when he created the world. Abraham believed this. He believed that if it was necessary, God could create life in the organs of his and Sarah's bodies. God was the source of his faith. He wasn't concerned about how God was going to do it. He just knew God could do it. Every promise, now listen to this, every promise that God is made by God is a promise that only He can fulfill. Check it out. Every promise that God makes to man is only a promise that He can fulfill. He can make no promises about us and what we do. I make promises all the time. Some of them I keep, some of them I don't. And He certainly wouldn't. God can't say, I promise that Brother Randy is going to do this. Because I might not. But when He makes the promise, He is in control of the promise, and He can assure us that only He can fulfill it, and no one else can. God is not needed. Can do whatever is needed. And if we put our faith in man, there is no way these hopes and these promises of the future can be met by men. No man can provide salvation from sin. No man can provide salvation from death. No man can provide salvation from hell. No man can fulfill God's promise to Abraham. Only God can provide the impossible promise of eternal life. You know what? If God could call the dead womb of Sarah to life, He can call those who are dead in trespasses and sins to new life. You may be dead today in sin, but He can call you into new life. A new life in Christ. Found a quote. It says, I'm greatly comforted when God speaks to me as righteous, justified, glorified, holy, pure, and saintly. God can talk about such things before they exist because they know they will exist. One day, we will be all those things. And He knows it's going to happen, and therefore He can talk about it before it happens. That's how sure His promise is. God is the source of our strength. The source of our faith. What is the source of our faith? Now, I've not told you anything today about God that you didn't already know, that He may have already done in your life. But why do we live our lives in faith in so many other things instead of living our lives in faith of the God who can bring new life to anything? He can create anything out of nothing. And then we find in verse 18. We're going to be looking 18 through verses 22. Rather lengthy. Who against hope? Now this is Abraham. He's talking about Abraham. Abraham, who against hope, on hope he did believe. It didn't make sense. There was no hope, but against hope, on hope he did believe. For his becoming the father of many nations, according to which was spoken and continues to be spoken, so he shall be your seed. In verse 19. And while not having been weak in the faith, He considered his body already to be dead and continued to be dead while being about 100 years old, and the deadness of the womb of Sarah. And he goes on in verse 20. And in the promise of God, he did not doubt in unbelief, but he was made strong in faith while he gave glory to God. In verse 21 it goes, and it says, And while have been fully convinced that what he has promised and continues to promise, he is also able to do. Wherefore also it was accounted unto him righteousness. Wow. Lots of things to unpack there, probably a sermon unto itself. His faith was in the promise of the seed. Abraham's faith was in what God said, the promise of a son. And he had nothing to go on but according to which was spoken and continues to be spoken. There was no reason for him to believe it except for what God said. Against hope, as he did believe. And this means that Abraham was past hope, beyond all human help and any possibility of having a son. And yet he believed God and what God had promised him. He believed God, even though there was no reason to. He was 100 years old. That don't work. It's not reality. He was not weak in faith despite his limited physical abilities. He considered his body already to be dead and continuing to be dead. What does that mean? Well, the word in the Greek here is in the perfect tense, and most of the time I would just kind of skip over it because you understand what it's talking about. Excuse me. You understand, it doesn't change a whole lot, is my point. But the continuing to be dead, it's like his body was not going to be able to do what was necessary in order to have a son. Alright? And there was no hope that it would ever happen again, that it would ever happen. There gets a certain point, when you get to a certain age, there are things that you can't do anymore. You physically have that, maybe it's driving a vehicle, maybe it's whatever. But you get to the point where you come to the realization that I can't do this anymore. I'm beyond hope of doing it. With Abraham, he was way past hope of that ever happening. But yet, he was not weak in faith. Abraham considered his body dead and never being able to have children. His reproductive organs had stopped functioning and he could never again function. And it said Abraham considered this matter. He thought about it. Now, look, I'm not saying that all of a sudden God said it, so it must be true. He considered it. Well, for this to happen, this has got 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 to happen. But God said it. God said it. Abraham considered it. And then he said he fixed his thoughts on what God had told him. It became not what he thought about the thing, but it became what God had said about it. Yet he did not give in to his thoughts. And what a relationship and trust Abraham must have had in God. God said it, so he believed it. You know what? There is no such thing, well, I'm trying to believe. Now think about that. I want to believe. I'm trying to believe. You see, it's as simple as this. You just believe. Just believe. Abraham looked at the situation, heard what God said, and said, I believe God. And then he believed. He was strong in faith. Not wavering, but it actually said he was giving God the glory. Now the word doubt has the idea of wavering at the promise of God because of the apparent reality of what he knew. Yeah, I would be thinking about it. Look in the promises of God in the Scripture. There are some things in it that you're going that some people go and they look at, and I don't know if I really believe that. I don't think God really will make me a new person. I don't think God really can change me. And so guess what? They don't fix their mind upon what God's promise is, and they don't believe it. Now, there are 1,000 other examples in our lives every day that we say is impossible. That person who needs Christ, but they're so bad, and that you say, they'll never. Now, they have such a terrible attitude about God and things religious. And you say, they'll never enter into a church. They'll never come to know Jesus Christ. And I'm not sure Jesus will even want them. What does it say in Scripture? It says that He comes so that all may believe. That all may be saved. And all of a sudden you're saying, well, God can't do this. And God can't save that person. Let me tell you something. He can. And He will. And He does. Some of us, well, all of us are walking examples of that, because none of us are worthy of His love and His salvation. He didn't waver. He didn't question the ability of God to fulfill His promises to him. Instead, what did he do instead? All right, he heard God's word. He looked at the reality. He pondered on it. And he says, I believe. And he actually said, he started glorifying and praising God for this great promise. There wasn't this moment of, okay, Lord, I'm going to believe you, but I'm going to kind of wait and see how this works out. It was the moment he says, okay, God said it. It's going to happen. Hallelujah, I'm going to have a baby. That's exactly what he's talking about. He says, hallelujah, we're going to have a baby. Off of the promise of God. Not because she got a pregnancy test. Not because she developed a little hump in her tummy. It was nothing like that. It was simply because God said it and he believed it. Do you see how great a faith Abraham was, and that everything in the New Testament always pointed back to his faith? It's because we need that kind of faith. He was convinced of God's ability and God's power. He knew God had the power to give them a child. And God would either make his body younger, wouldn't that have been awesome, or recreate his reproductive organs. He didn't know exactly how, but he was fully persuaded that he would. And look what it says there at the end. It says his faith was counted or credited as righteousness. By his faith, God put righteousness into Abraham's account. He imputed his righteousness on him because of Abraham's faith. It wasn't anything he did. It was all about his faith in God. The last three verses is the record of Abraham's faith. It talks a little bit about everybody pointing back to Abraham. And it was not written on his account by himself that it was credited to him, but also on our account, to whom it is about to be continually accounted for, the one who has faith on the one who raised up Jesus from the dead. And in verse 25, who was handed over because of our trespasses, and he was raised up because of our justification. It was not written on just to praise Abraham, okay? And basically what it's saying. This is not written to say, look how great a person Abraham is. The idea was not to glorify Abraham, but to glorify the faith of Abraham towards God. This story or account was written so that others could know of Abraham's faith, not to honor him. All the honor, by the way, goes to God. And it goes to Him. That others, and the reason why we know about it, we need to know about it, okay? The reason why Abraham's such a huge figure in the New Testament, our spiritual father, if you will, is that others, so that others might be counted as righteous by believing, having the same kind of faith that Abraham did. It is necessary that men believe in the right things. Not to believe in other men. Not believe in Abraham and his story and think that if I just put my faith, hope, and trust in Abraham, then everything will be fine because of his faith. It wouldn't work that way. He wants you to have the faith of Abraham so that you can be credited righteousness. So that he can impute on your life righteousness, and you'll stand justified before God just as Abraham did. He's showing you the example of Abraham and what kind of faith it takes to be saved. Not to believe in ourselves, but that we believe in two things. Two things. By believing that Jesus Christ died for our sins. By believing that God raised Jesus from the dead. Two things. Check it out. It's what he tells us. That's the gospel. You put your faith, hope, and trust in those two things. Jesus died for our sins by believing that God raised Jesus from the dead. You say, Brother Randy, I believe those two things happened. Well, that's still not good enough. Because you got to know why he did that. You got to believe in the why for our justification and for our salvation. He did that as a sacrifice for us. And our faith and our hope and trust can't be on a wooden cross. Our faith, hope, and trust can't be from a wooden building. Our faith, hope, and trust cannot be in another person. Our faith, hope, and trust cannot be in a religious system. Our faith, hope, and trust has to be entirely and squarely upon Jesus Christ. And upon what He did for us. And we have to have faith. This is a little tricky here. Came a point in time when you felt some funny feelings going on during a church service. And you decided that you would be, you know, that you need to come up front. Be saved. Be baptized. Okay. It's happened millions of times since the time of Christ. But there's something wrong if that kind of faith leads you to think and believe, or leads you to doubt the promise and the trust of God. You know what I'm saying? God says, you're saved. You're going to be in heaven with me. And then throughout your life, you're wondering, is he really going to keep his promise? Is that the kind of faith that Abraham had? The doubt, the wavering? Now, I'm not here to tell you that you are or not, because all of us at some point in time doubt, wonder. As we grow older, is there a point in time when we'll say, I just don't know what's going to happen to me when I die. I know that I made a profession, but I'm not sure whether or not God's going to accept me or not. What kind of faith is that? I'll tell you this. There's a lot of things that I waver in faith about, everyday things about God. But there is not one moment that I doubt that when I pass from this life, the moment I take my last breath, that I won't be with Jesus. I will be with Him. There's no doubt. That's the faith of Abraham. He had no doubt. Look, most people who we tell, if you put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, and He comes at your heart's door, and He's knocking on it, and you accept His everlasting gift of everlasting salvation, then you'll live forever with Him. There's a lot of folks out there they'll think, are you doing drugs? That's not reality. I have not seen one dead person rise yet. There's no record of one dead person rising. That Jesus fellow, I'm not too sure about that. I think they made that up. Because it's not reality. But it is to me, because He made me a promise many, many years ago. And He can make that promise to you right now. You need to have the Abraham's faith. And that's the reason, that's the importance of Abraham's faith, is so that we'll see the kind of faith that it takes for him to justify us, to make us right with God. I cannot put it any other way. If you're here today and you've never truly accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior by Abraham's kind of faith, then you probably need to get right with Him today. Brothers and sisters in Christ, are we living our lives by the type of faith that Abraham had? Or do we live in doubt and fear, even though God has promised the things that He's promised in His Word? I'm struggling with this message myself today. I realize that my faith doesn't live up to that standard, especially with Abraham and Sarah. I'm sitting there going, if he told me and Terry that we were to have another child, besides the fact that Terry would go into severe depression, and besides the fact it's not possible, and you're sitting there going, I'd be going, Lord, come on, no one's going to believe it, I don't know if I'd have that kind of faith. And that's an extreme example. Every day we go through those kind of things where we weigh the promise of God versus the reality of this world. And too often the reality of the world wins and we begin to doubt God. I hope and pray today that we'll understand the importance of having the type of faith that Abraham had. As we stand and prepare for an invitation, I don't know your heart, don't know your life, I don't know your faith. All I know is the way that I portray my faith and put my faith in is not always what God promises. So I assume that you probably do the same thing. Let's understand what it really means. Faith is not just showing up at church service. Faith is not just singing songs and listening to a message. Faith is when you do something like that. You believe God is going to do something you cannot believe yourself. And you put your trust in Him. And once again, if you're here listening to these words and you've never truly actually put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus Christ,
So as we sing, this is your opportunity. You may get right with God.